What's up, everybody? In this episode, Ross and I talk about best practices. If you're the kind of person who reads all the blog posts, downloads all the guides, and follows all those tips and tricks that people offer, this episode is definitely for you. Let's get started.
So I was scrolling through Twitter just the other day, and I came across a tweet that seemed to be filled with anger and rage and distaste and a lack of satisfaction with the status quo. It was a tweet not from myself, but my fine co-host, Talia Wolf. And I thought to myself, is Talia upset? Definitely. She's definitely upset because Talia doesn't send out tweets with big words like, best practices suck. So I'm going to ask you to chime in and share with everyone listening today what resulted in that tweet. What got you so fired up? What made you have that moment of keyboard rage where you had to tell the world of best practices?
So funny, because I actually opened it with, and you can quote me on this.
You did. So this is the quote. I am taking your tweet literally and quoting you on this. Best practices suck. Tell us why. I know a lot of people who love best practices and they will resort to best practices when they're in a debate. They'll say, no, best practice. This is best practice. Why are we doing this? Best practice. So I'm curious.
What are your thoughts? Well, best practices and I go back like a long way. Like I've been raging about best practices for years now. I think my welcome email to people who sign up to my email list actually opens with best practices suck. Like that's where I'm
that's
at
awesome.
At this point.
Right.
specifically that day when I tweeted it, it was because one of my students reached out and they were super frustrated because they tried something that they read about in a blog post that told them that they would 100% increase conversions. And the best practice was that if you are a B2B company and you have a form and you're trying to get more leads, then remove form fields. Like basically, that's a best practice. I think everyone knows it, right? Basically remove unnecessary fields. So this person removed all sorts of fields and they did get more leads, but their sales tanked. So this person was coming up to me to say like, why is this happening and what can I do? And I was just, and I said, where did you hear about this? And they're like, well, I read it in X's blog post. And I was like,
Right.
I just, my thing with best practices is that there's a good side and there's an evil side to them, right?
Right.
The good side is, someone really tested it and tried it and it worked really well for them and their audience. And guess what? That's not your audience. Right. And that's why it's not working for you. The evil side of it is I'm trying to get a ton of clicks on Google and it ranks really well. And if I'm going to say that something, you're going to get 500% increase in something, you're going to click through. And that's why I wrote it. And I actually have never tried this best practice. But, you know, other blog posts say it, so I'll write it too.
Right.
Which most are on the evil side. And it drives me nuts because I feel like, my gosh, I think I can go on a monologue on this, but basically.
Hey, it's okay. We need it. This is a moment to let it all out.
I feel like it's the lazy approach. So it's just like I read something on the blog post and it isn't working for me. And I get it. Everyone, like when you have a problem and you can't figure it out, you're going to go onto Google and you're going to try and find a solution and you're going to test the things that people tell you. But these blog posts really infuriate me because they don't say, hey, this is how we tested it. This is the audience. This is what the, you know, the traffic sources were. This is how much traffic we have. This is how many conversions we have. This is how long we ran this test. Or we've seen this succeed on X. Like there's no numbers. It's just
right.
If you increase your call to action button, you will.
Right.
Oh gosh. Where is this coming from?
Yeah, it's so true.
And it kind of feeds into itself because some people are lazy and they don't really want to do the research themselves. And, you know, you and I have chatted about this endlessly about the amount of research and foundational like research that you need to do. So it's easier to go to blog posts. But I just, I get really angry at these situations. And
I think it's deserved because at the end of the day, it's like no one really takes the time even to consider the date in which some of these posts were created. So I think that's another gap that needs to be considered. Okay, great. So you've done some reading on a blog post from 1999 about best practices for buttons. Guess what? It's a whole new world. And when people are looking at onboarding best practices from 2010, like again, very, very different. I remember a piece that I wrote about like the best onboarding experiences for apps and for SaaS companies. This was probably written in 2013 or 14, but people still are reading that piece. I just haven't gotten the time to go in and update it. So you have to take the time to look at, okay, when was this published? Is it still best practice? Can I also validate any of this with research and data to say like, this is actually the situation for me? Because audience X is always going to be different from audience Y. And I think that it's easy to get caught up in this idea of embracing best practice without rooting it in research. It's definitely a very common situation. And with the plethora of blog posts and content created today, it's easy to fall into a rabbit hole and just say, oh, I read it on so-and-so's blog, or I saw it in this Facebook group, I saw it on LinkedIn, thus I should do the same exact thing. So I'm 100% with you there that best practices are, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. Like there are some best practices, such as your tweets should include content. Best practice, right? Like that's a best practice. There should be content in your tweet. Simple things like that, best practice maybe, but at the end of the day, like even that tweet that you sent, this is where it gets interesting. Even the tweet that you sent had no words, right? Like there was no words, literal like characters written with your tweet. It was just a visual. Now that breaks best practice, right? Yeah. It breaks best practice because everybody would say when you send out a tweet, it has to be a tweet with text, with words, etc. But your tweet was just the graphic, just the visual. It got some retweets, got some likes, etc. Stirred up some combo, some dialogue, some engagement, and it was all breaking best practice. So folks, you have to realize that best practice is not necessarily always meant to be followed.
Yeah. So I once heard, I don't know, I'm going to attribute this to Pep Liar, just because I think he said it. Yeah. Is that best practices, especially in like design and conversion and in that world, should be like the minimum basis. Like if you're just getting started, then you can create something out of best practices with a combo of research, and then slowly as you do your own research and optimize it. So it should be the foundation of stuff. But on the other hand, I feel like when it comes to best practices, they're so generic and they're across the board. Like, as you mentioned, your tweet should have content. So sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't. We have best practices for emails, right? It says your subject line should have X or that. And, you know, sometimes things aren't by the book. And I think most times things aren't by the book. And when you are following blog posts and guides, you always have to remember first, what was the agenda of the person who wrote this article? And who are they even talking about? Is this right for your audience? And can you test it? I'm not saying don't test it. Yeah. Test everything if it makes sense.
Yep.
But this blind, you know, the blind following the blind kind of. Yeah. It's like the competitors following, like, you know, you've got a website, you're trying to figure out what to do, and you're just looking at your competitor and you're like, I guess they know what they're doing, and I'll just copy them, and they're copying the other person.
So, right.
it just feels like laziness. And I know that people aren't lazy, but it's just it's not good enough. What you should be doing, is first getting to know your audience really well. And that is like generally getting to know your audience, and then also getting to know your audience on each platform. You mentioned Twitter before. So my audience behaves very differently on Twitter than it will on a Facebook group. And that's why when I post there, I'll post very different types of content. And I don't follow best practices, not because they don't work, but I follow the best practices of my Facebook group. So for our group, I know that video content works really well. And when I put a poll in, it will get some attraction, but it would work even better if I attach a video to it of me.
Right.
And I've tested and tested and tested things within the group to get to know what is the best kind of content. Or if it's for a landing page, then again, you would first do your audience research and then figure out how to go about it. Does that make sense?
100%. It makes total sense. I think you're spot on there. I think the overarching theme for everyone as you listen to this episode is that, like, yes, best practices are a thing, but they start as just like a fundamental foundational level of the minimum. So like if you were to say the minimum viable product, that's what your best practices are. They're the minimum that you can do or should do as a starting point. But they are not going to get you the groundbreaking, world-changing, unreal, something different results that you should be aspiring to, right? Like the best practices can kind of set you up for, okay, we might be successful, but this is what is the benchmark. But when you start to iterate on that and you start to improve it through experiments and through testing and trying new things, that's where real breakthroughs start to happen. And it comes down to experiments. It comes down to testing. It comes down to trying new things, being willing to do your own thing and try things that sometimes might fail. When you look at over time, MySpace created best practices for what social media sites should look like. They made the best practices for social networks. And then a bunch of clones came out of the woodworks trying to do exactly what MySpace did, where they allowed you to have fully customized personal profile accounts with GIFs and flying little shiny things and rockets. And everybody thought that was the way that a social media website was supposed to look. And then Facebook comes along and they create a fixed environment where you don't have the ability to customize many things. All you get is your cover photo, your profile picture, and about us section. And that's all you really have. And then a feed as you would like to distribute content and put out things about your life. But that was it. And that became the best practice. And that became the new kind of frontier of social. And then again, you fast forward many, many years and things like TikTok start to come up and Instagram start to come up and they start to, again, redefine what best practices for a social network should look like. And in your industry, no matter if you are a service company, no matter if you are running your own startup or whether or not you're running your own courses and webinars, you have to be okay with once in a while breaking best practices to try something different because that's where the breakthroughs tend to happen.
100%. I couldn't agree more. And it's actually, it reminded me as you were speaking of iPhone and Android and how Apple basically doesn't allow you to customize anything. It's like, anything. This is what you get. Right. And then with Android, you can do whatever you want. Right. And it's an interesting way of looking at it. And I think just in general, when it comes to best practices, as you mentioned, so it's the baseline of stuff. But then I also think this is why if we take this to the world of courses, online courses. Right. So many courses out there are templatized. They're one size fits all solutions where if you follow this exact framework and you do exactly as I say, and you tweet this amount of tweets and you create this amount of modules and whatever it is, then you will be successful. I found from courses that I've taken and also, by the way, from courses that I've created that when you actually allow people within the course to do their own research and to test their own stuff, that it's actually way more successful because there is no one size fits all for anyone. Yeah. Not in courses, not in social media, not in landing pages. And that's why this also, all these questions that I get like, oh, what is the average conversion rate for a SaaS company? What is the...
Right.
I don't know.
It's so true. It's always the
average stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the questions all the time. It's like, what's the average for this? What's the average for that? And it's like, sometimes you just don't want to actually aspire for average. Sometimes you should kind of test, run your own experiment and see what happens. So I think that's, I think this will leave folks with a lot of perspective. I think some folks might spit out their tea, spit out their coffee with a little bit of, well, wait, I just had a conversation with someone about how we need to follow best practices. And you folks are telling me to do something different. Again, folks, I would give a caveat to make sure, like, the end of the day, you have to run your own race, you have to run experiments, and you do have to have some rationale and logic behind what you're doing. You can't just say, we're going to do these things because we want to be different. Like, we're not going to put anything with headlines on our website, no blogs, no, we're going to break all of the SEO rules, algorithms don't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, there is some fundamentals that you have to consider. But when it comes to best practices around things like buttons and conversion rates and how you should present yourself and whether your About Us page should sound a certain way or your emails should be written a certain way, those are best practices that generally suck. To reiterate what my friend who was enraged on Twitter once said. So
hashtag
thank rant. You for, yeah, exactly. Thank you folks so much for listening. Really appreciate it. You know where to find us. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/actiondrivenpodcast. We would love to connect with you there. And please, as you're listening to this, take the time to go back to your phone, pull it out, find our podcast and give it a 5-star review. Whether it's on Apple, whether it's on Spotify, it would mean the world to us. So thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. Take care.